following program is pre-recorded. Welcome to Hope in the Night, late night talk radio offering biblical hope and practical help, and on the air now for over 25 years. I'm Jeff Oliver, here with author and speaker June Hunt. Well, June, we're in the time of year that I've often been called kind of a Grinch.
And
if we know what that is.
Oh, my goodness. But that means you're going to steal Christmas from us?
Well, but he returned. There's a good ending to that story.
Oh.
But at any rate, I have been hearing, whatever store you go into now, you're hearing and really have for a week or so, heard Christmas music. What I love about that, mm-hmm. though, is that the gospel is sung, and it's the words are in people's hearts and minds and lips for a month or so. They're singing the gospel.
I love it. I thought we would feature one of the songs on our CD called The Hope of Christmas. And it is the song, O Little Town of Bethlehem. And I'll tell you why I love this song. It really isn't about O Little Town of Bethlehem. It's not the city. It is exactly what you said in regard to the words. Especially the last verse. And I do three verses in this, but before I mention why I love this so much, just to communicate, a lot of people, they hear Bethlehem and they know it's a town somewhere in Israel, and they know there's a Jerusalem. Well, realize Bethlehem is just a town 5 miles from Jerusalem, just it's southwest. And it was in Jacob's time. There's, you know, the fathers, the great forefathers were Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Well, in Jacob's time, it was called Ephrathah, and which means fruitful. Now, that's interesting, since Bethlehem actually means house of bread. House of bread. And I thought, well, that's preserves on that. On the bread. No, by the way, that is not historic. I'm just saying that. But it was the burial place of Rachel. But I want to emphasize, it became known as the city of David, because what you have is Boaz. There's Ruth and Boaz, historically, when you look at these individuals. And then their great-grandson was David, who kept his father's sheep and was anointed king by Samuel. But therefore it was known as the city of David. But especially notice these words at the end of the song, the second, the last verse. It's, O come to us, abide in us, our Lord Emmanuel.
No ear may hear. But in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. Oh, holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us.
Bringing hope in the darkest hours, we're celebrating June Hunt and 26 years of Hope in the Night. June will tell you that a radio program was nowhere on her radar, but God had a different plan. On the first broadcast of Hope in the Night, June talked with people about fear, alcohol abuse, anger, and we'll never forget the woman facing an unplanned pregnancy. Help us mark this 26th year by making a $26 gift or even a $260 gift to our late night radio ministry. It would be a special blessing if you would make your gift a monthly gift. Just go to hopefortheheart.org or text the keyword HOPE to 855-909-1546. That's hopefortheheart.org or text the keyword HOPE to 855-909-1546.
Would you like to talk to June Hunt about a situation in your life? Consider having that conversation on a future broadcast of Hope in the Night and let June help you discover practical help that's grounded in God's truth. Your story will be heard on all of our radio affiliates, and of course, we protect your privacy by providing you with a different name. And as it happens often in our program, when you share your story, you might help someone else find biblical hope and practical help for their life. It's ministry multiplied. For an opportunity to talk with June Hunt on Hope in the Night about an issue, a hurt, a relationship, or some other concern in your life, call 800-NIGHT-17. That's 800-644-4817. And remember, there are no hopeless situations, only people who have grown hopeless. There really are biblical solutions for all of life's struggles. Don't wait. Call tonight. 800-NIGHT-17. 800-644-4817.
You are listening to Hope in the Night. I'm Jeff Oliver. We'll get to our caller in a moment. If you have questions about the music that you just heard there, you can certainly get that from our customer support team or by a website that I'll give you in just a moment. But you can call customer support at 800-488-HOPE and ask for the CD, The Hope of Christmas. And the song you just heard, O Little Town of Bethlehem, is on that, as well as many other familiar and some not so familiar, but a couple of lighthearted songs on there as well. And get in touch with customer support. Again, their number is 800-488-HOPE. You can call them anytime, Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time. You can also access that CD and many other resources by going to hopefortheheart.org/store. You'll find new updated Keys for Living, Lifeline to Hope online training, as well as June's many biblical resources, including those music CDs, and that is the Hope of Christmas is part of that. So just go to hopefortheheart.org/store. We want to welcome back to our program tonight. We have returning listening on KKLA in California, and we welcome back Amber.
Well, what a delight to have you back, Amber. You're a music lover.
That's right.
Well, welcome. How can we help you?
Well, I'm really happy to have you singing tonight, June. And it's helpful for me. I'm kind of going through a mourning stage. The last time, you know, we spoke, I was telling you about my brother had passed away in January. And just last week, prior to Thanksgiving, a roommate passed away, and I found her when I came home from work. And, and then some memories started coming back when my brother died. I found myself kind of reopened wounds.
And how long had she been your roommate?
It was exactly 1 year on the 21st.
Were you close?
Yeah, she was quite older than me. She was 72, which is the same age when my grandmother passed away about 10 years ago, or almost 10 years ago. And I just thought that was kind of uncanny. But we would have dinner together, and she was. I moved out. This was my first time out of my parents' home, and she became my friend.
How wonderful. That is so precious. What a gift from the Lord for you.
Yes.
So it was your first, after you moved out from your home, your parents' home, and she was your first roommate. What that means is there was a choice for you to live with her. But tell me, what did you, obviously, for you to have grief like this, that means she was endeared. So what was endearing about her to you?
I'm really blessed that she was ideal as a roommate. She was a classical music lover. I was very bold when I met her the first time, and I said, listen, I'm a Christian, and that's going to be, you know, how it works out. And I didn't tell her that I didn't walk in. It was her place. But I said, if there's any problem with me being a Christian, I need you to know that now before you agree to let me live with you. It worked out just fine for us. We prayed together, which was another reason. And I think that because she hadn't really seen anyone all year long, being COVID and things like that, we're both really big entertainers. We both endeared to people, and so we just began to dance and sing and enjoy each other's company because I was who she had for a long season, and I was very blessed to feel loved.
Well, obviously you were a tremendous blessing to her, and you're right. There, you know, when there's been a pandemic, and depending on where you live, and you live in California, there are much greater restrictions in certain parts of the United States, unlike in Dallas, where I am. But all the more endeared you were. Because she had not had as well. Wow. What a gift you were to her. And tell me what you learned from her.
I learned how to be accepting in a way that I hadn't before. Just to really be at peace and know that it's okay that that person wasn't really in a place for correction, because she was a much older woman than I, and a much different mindset about what was okay versus what was not okay. And there were just things that I wanted to say, like, no, that's not okay, or no, you can't do that. But the word says when you're speaking with an older brother and sister in Christ, to treat them as your elder and your parent. In the beginning, that was really difficult for me, but over time I just realized some people don't see what I learned love in this season, and just learning how holding our tongue in certain situations can bring about fruit in a long-term sense.
You know, that what you just said is extremely important. I mean, immensely important. The Bible says there's a time to speak and a time to be silent. And just because we could speak, it may not be the right time. And it could be that we need to wait to earn approval, too. Meaning, there's a point at which you, as you get to know someone, eventually, when it's an excellent relationship, then you can be far more candid. But how we are candid makes a difference. And that's what I'm hearing, that you're, while there were differences, you learned to respect who she was. And I think that's essential, is knowing there can be differences, and yet we don't need to make World War III over things that we could see that would, I mean, that doesn't mean that you accept doing things that are wrong and morally wrong. But there is an issue. I mean, I have a number of relatives that I seek to, and they are not believers, and they are, I have just people in my life who are on the continuum, you know, and how we treat them, even though we know we might hold a position that's very important to us, that, or I'll say important to me, that means that that's valid for me, but I don't have to say everything I think. I don't have to make a comment to say, oh, well, you know, you're not acceptable if you don't think exactly the way I do. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it's funny. I had a family dinner just less than 2 hours ago, and that was exactly what was occurring at the table.
Well, there's much that is stated in the Bible about how we are wise when we don't speak. I mean, I love the book of Proverbs, and of course you see the book of James. Both are dealing with the tongue heavily in content, and yet it's like, for example, Proverbs 13, verse 3, I think it is, he who guards his lips guards his soul, but he who speaks rashly will come to ruin. In other words, it can ruin a relationship that could have been helpful. And the people in my life that where we are not at all spiritually aligned, That doesn't mean that they don't have value or might not one day embrace my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But sometimes we have to earn the right to be heard.
That's difficult, June.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have a passionate zeal and an evangelistic spirit, and I'm feeling like I can say anything I want to because I want you saved.
It's just, you've got to be led, you know, we need to be led by the Spirit of God as to when we speak. That's why, you know, I appreciate the admonition in Ecclesiastes, all those major topics of there's a time to be born and a time to die, but there's a time to speak and a time to refrain from speaking. And so, and that doesn't mean that we don't, that we're not compromising. It's just, there are times when people are not able to hear. And so, you know, but they could later hear. And that's what we can pray for.
I believe that things are sown into the heart, and when the word says that we need to be doing that out of love, but that's the strongest way, that's the best way to use a gentle word instead of, was it a gentle word turns away wrath?
That's exactly right. That's what the Bible says. That's important. Well, I want to say I am deeply sorry for your loss, because obviously she was a blessing, and just as you were a blessing to her. And and this is, you said it was only there was around before Thanksgiving, just before Thanksgiving, is that right?
That's right, yes.
So you could write a Thanksgiving list of the things you're thankful for, that why God put the two of you together. That could be very, very precious.
That's beautiful.
Well, we'll continue to talk when we come back from this break.
In these unprecedented times, millions are suffering with more stress, anxiety, loneliness, and depression. In the still of the night, when things slow down, these feelings can be the strongest. This is when June Hunt shares God's truth through this late-night radio ministry, Hope in the Night. She helps people find answers and critical next steps for their struggles. Help us mark this 26th year by making a $26 gift or even a $260 gift to our late-night radio ministry. It would be a special blessing if you would make your gift a monthly gift. Just go to hopefortheheart.org or text the keyword HOPE to 855-909-1546. That's hopefortheheart.org or text the keyword HOPE to 855-909-1546.
Did you know that June Hunt has a new website? JuneHunt.org gives you a behind-the-scenes peek into June's life and ministry. You'll hear her personal story of an uncertain childhood and how, even as a young adult, she struggled with anger, unforgiveness, lying, and her identity. Perhaps in June's story, you'll hear your story and discover the same hope and help that has guided her. As June says, God does not waste the trials in our lives. Along with June's story, you can see what's new as we work to share this message of biblical hope and practical help in more places and in new ways to reach more people. Because there is hope, no matter the circumstances. Make JuneHunt.org your place to go for what's new at Hope for the Heart, and make it your place to go for biblical hope and practical help anytime, anywhere.
listening to Hope in the Night, a ministry of hope for the heart, offering God's truth for today's problems. And we are here because of your generous support of this ministry. It means so much to us, and we thank you. Our customer support team can be reached at 800-488-HOPE. They're available Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time, and they'll help guide you to God's hope through our resources. And we have the keys for living called Death and Heaven, the doorway to your destiny. Again, get in touch with customer support at 800-488-HOPE. That's 800-488-4673. If you would like to speak with June about a specific situation in your life, and there's something going on and you'd like her insight and godly wisdom on that, just do that and give us a call. And we'd like to have you on a future broadcast of Hope in the Night. That's 800-NIGHT-17, the number 800-NIGHT-17. Just call, leave a good message for us so we can get back and schedule you for the next available Hope in the Night. Also, if you've been on Hope in the Night before and you'd like to give us kind of an update, you feel like you were helped by the program, we'd like to hear the rest of your story. So give us a call back and give us that opportunity to share your story with others in that same number, 800-NIGHT-17. Let's return to our conversation with Amber.
Well, sweet Amber, I think it's precious that you had your first out of your home, living with your parents for basically 29 years, and 28 years, and then you lived with this older woman. You know, she was, I guess, double and a half of your age, approximately 72. And you're indicating that this is bringing up emotions that you had from an earlier loss in your life. Is that right?
Yes.
Your brother?
Yes.
Okay. Wow. So how are you doing right now? Not the second, but I mean today, during this time.
Yeah, right now I'm a bit jovial, excited to be back with you.
Thank you.
But in general, I have definitely noticed a decline in my pep. Had a lot of good life changes, and then the week got progressively better. I mentioned that I found her just prior to Thanksgiving, and so by the time we came a full 7 days and 8 days, I was much better. I had a lot of help from my mom and my dog, and I felt a lot, coaxed into just feeling like I could be alone again. It took some time.
So were you feeling grief, anxiety, fear?
Uh-huh.
What were you, was there something specific that, what kind of emotions were you feeling at the time? Or are you feeling at the time?
I was especially feeling fear because I mentioned I found my roommate. So it was an unexpected passing, and that was a moment that really was striking because I opened the door, and then walking into the same room over again because it was a common room that she had been found. It took me some time to walk into that room, not with fake stride, but with the actual confidence and peace of Christ. Even though I had been, in prayer, it still took a full week, and knowing that I am in Christ and Christ is in me and she is with the Lord because she was a believer too, like, that all still was weird and jarring. And it's one thing to know that I have the confidence of Christ in me, but it's another thing to actually experience a certain thing, and it's no longer book knowledge, but now I have life experience. It's very strange to have to petition to the Lord to help me with some things that I already knew mentally.
You know, it's so helpful to know the authority of what the Bible says, that the Bible is authoritative. It is the Word of God. And then when we read, absent from the body, present with the Lord. I mean, there's no, I mean, it's bang, bang. I mean, it's like absent from the body, that's where she is as a true, authentic Christian. And I remember my hardest issue of death was when I learned my mom had a terminal illness. Now, I can tell you I was surprised because I didn't know how I would respond. I mean, I didn't think about it until all of a sudden I find out she has inoperable liver cancer. And I just knew there were times, you know, I would go over and I would have time with her. It would be precious. And there were times when she couldn't talk. And I thought, her eyes were shut. And I said, Mother, can you hear me? And she would nod her head. Is it that you cannot open your eyes or you don't want to open your eyes? Okay, let's make it one or the other. Is it that you cannot open your eyes? And then she did a nodding of the head. And I thought, well, I need to do a no answer. Is it that you don't want to open your eyes? And then she did a no. And so I thought, okay, so then I will, you learn these things not because somebody's taught you. You just try to figure out what to do. But the unusual part to me, I'm going to be very candid of what happened. After Mom went to be with the Lord, after she died, I did not have grief. I mean, not that there weren't tears at times or whatever. I'm talking about, it's like I did the her marker, her cemetery marker, and I put the praying hands because she loved prayer, and I put kneeling at the feet of Jesus engraved, kneeling at the feet of Jesus, and that's. And with roses around. And just recently a friend wanted us to go to the cemetery to see both of our mothers' gravesite. And I just looked at that and I thought, I'm so glad. See, but I realize I am blessed because there are those who don't have that as a reality for their loved one. You have that as a reality.
Right.
With this dear, dear friend, an older, wiser person who's lived in ways that you had not, and yet God used her and used you with her. So, how precious is that? And that's what a friend is, by the way. You're bettered because of that other person in your life. Some people will use the word friend. And it's when I find out, oh, there's just a destructive relationship. They tear each other down. That's not friendship. But you're better when God gives you a particular person who becomes a friend. And that's a gift from him that you were given by God.
Thank you. What you said right now is so appropriate because I spoke with you before about a friendship that was not a true friendship, as you described it now, one person making another person better. But rather, when I ended the friendship is when I felt true peace about our interaction. And I was just listening to the recording of that night talk, and it's just funny how the Lord brings about the full circle of it all, and how now I know what it is like to have loved and cared for and given out of myself and walking with God in maturity with someone else. Because I saw that in her. I saw maturity in her, a 72-year-old woman, in the course of a year, where I felt like she had truly opened and blossomed in a way that I was surprised and proud and happy for her.
Yes. Yes. Well, when you have a true friend, that person never diminishes. In other words, you can have other friends, but each one has his or her own place, meaning some people are afraid, oh, well, they'll say, I've got to find somebody to take that person's place, or they'll say, oh, I don't want anybody to take that place, and so they guard themselves from other relationships. But the heart is big. Your heart is big. It can hold many endeared relationships. And think, I have a friend, a dear, dear friend. She's a forever friend. And years ago, she said, June, I figured it out that I'm like a house. And in the house, there are multiple rooms. The living room does not take the place of the dining room. The dining room doesn't take the place of the bedroom. The bedroom doesn't take the place of the kitchen. The kitchen doesn't take the place, and you can go down whatever rooms. You can even add a porch. Front porch, back porch. But the point is, they all have significance, but they're not taking somebody else's place. But they are precious. And then you've seen what a quality friendship looks like, so that you don't just settle for just anybody, because there are people who tear each other down. You don't want that. That's not being a friend. So, when we come back, tell me any concern that you have, or what do you wish from this conversation that we would get to? Because I want to make sure to give you special time. And by the way, since it's Christmas time, I will send you as a gift from our ministry, The Hope of Christmas, our music CD.
For bringing hope in the darkest hours, we're celebrating June Hunt and 26 years of Hope in the Night. June will tell you that a radio program was nowhere on her radar, but God had a different plan. On the first broadcast of Hope in the Night, June talked with people about fear, alcohol abuse, anger, and we'll never forget the woman facing an unplanned pregnancy. Help us mark this 26th year by making a $26 gift or even a $260 gift to our late night radio ministry. It would be a special blessing if you would make your gift a monthly gift. Just go to hopefortheheart.org or text the keyword HOPE to 855-909-1546. That's hopefortheheart.org or text the keyword HOPE to 855-909-1546.
As we each solve the puzzle that is our life, we often have questions we can't answer. Usually, they're little nagging questions, but sometimes they're larger. So large, in fact, the answer or even the question itself can have life-changing consequences. June Hunt believes the best answers to these tough questions come from God Himself, and He's given us those answers in the Bible. For more than 20 years now, June has helped callers find these biblical answers and apply them to their lives. You can talk with June on her radio program, Hope in the Night, about an issue, a hurt, a relationship, or another concern in your life. Call 800-NIGHT-17. And remember, there are no hopeless situations, only people who have grown hopeless. There really are biblical solutions for all of life's struggles. Don't wait. Call now, 800-644-4817.
Back to Hope in the Night. I'm Jeff Oliver, and we want to help you, and we want to help you help others. If you have questions or concerns about the topic of death, you can give us a call, and we have resources that will help you there. Call our customer support team at 800-488-HOPE. We have the Keys for Living called Death and Heaven, the doorway to your destiny. And customer support is available Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time. They'd be happy to talk with you and get the right resources to you. Their number again, 800-488-4673. If you prefer to email, you may do so at customersupport@hopefortheheart.org. Ask any questions you have regarding resources and topics discussed in tonight's program. Their email address again is customersupport@hopefortheheart.org. Let's return to our conversation with Amber.
Well, Amber, you have gained a lot of perspective through this friend, this woman who obviously had many values that you respected, and you've lost from an earthly standpoint, you've lost a friend whom you will reunite with in heaven. So the story's not over. And I understand that when you come upon a very unexpected scene, that picture stays, especially the first week. I mean, you did say that she died the week of Thanksgiving.
Okay.
And so, in this case, there's one aspect that can be helpful. There is all that you have gained, and you've been articulating that. That's why I wanted to hear. But think about, if you were to focus on a beautiful tree, it doesn't have to be a tree, but right now it's a beautiful tree. As you go farther and farther away from the tree gets smaller. Not smaller. The tree still is as large as it is, but in your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
There will be others that will be needed or that you will need to be in their lives to give them new perspective, to help them literally understand your Lord and Savior. And it will be interesting to see the next person who will be not taking her place, but added to the treasury of friends that you have. And I never thought I would continue to miss a my dear friend Sue Farrar, and she wrote the song The Whisper of My Heart, and I sent you that CD. She wrote that song. She died of cancer. She was about 9 years older than me, or ten, I think 10 years. I adored her. She was a minister of music at a Bible church, which was almost unheard of. But, oh my goodness, and she became a Christian when she was 35, and so, my goodness. But, you know, there are some people that you will continue to miss. I miss my mom. I miss my dear friend Sue. And yet God is going to put you in places where you're needed. You can be needed, and you've learned from this precious friend things that you didn't know before, and they became important. And so pray, pray that you'll have discernment to be in the relationships that are right in God's sight.
Thank you.
Now, I asked, is there something in particular you want us to talk about? But and I'm going to say one last thing. Because of when we originally talked, you were very candid about, I'll be very specific, you mentioned growing up with a verbally abusive dad, especially toward your mom, and for her faith. And it is easy to get into another relationship like that when you were used to it before. It's kind of like there. Some people will look at a woman and say, "Wow, you know, she was a victim of domestic violence." Then she gets out of it, and then she goes, the next person she's with, the next husband, she's a victim of domestic violence again. And people think, how could that happen? I wouldn't go back. Well, it's just there are patterns that people get used to, and they don't have boundaries. And it didn't sound like this friend was verbally abusive toward you, but I can tell you that there can be a repeating of what was the norm for you growing up. Does that make sense? So, all I'm saying is the healthier you are, the healthier the relationships will be.
You don't.
Say that again?
I said I'm learning that.
Yeah, you're learning that? Uh-huh. Okay, and so therefore, if you need help with boundaries, you know, we can help you. But the issue is not allowing a bad pattern to develop or to be perpetuated.
Right.
And it took me a long time. I would just accept abuse, but I grew up with abuse, so I didn't know within certain relationships, people would say, why do you let her talk to you that way? And I thought, I have no choice, but I didn't know I had a choice. I did have a choice, but I didn't feel on the inside I did. And I was in several negative, even though they had great qualities, some positive qualities, and these people, but somehow I just learned to accept abuse and didn't think I had a choice. I don't want you being like me in that way.
Thank you.
And maybe you've never had people who treated you, apart from your dad, with verbal or emotional abuse. Has that ever been your experience?
people telling you what to do.
What do people tell you?
There's God's truth. No matter how well-meaning people want to be, it's necessary to be alive.
Hey, sweetheart, I'm having a hard time because the vocal part of you talking is splattering. I don't know if you need to distance a little bit from the microphone. That's better. Yeah, that works.
Okay, that's good.
Oh, good. Would you repeat the last thing you were saying?
This is not true. In any situation, at least. So I know that I want better boundaries for my life.
Good. You want better boundaries for your life. That's good.
Yes.
You know, I think I will send you our material on verbal and emotional abuse. There's going to be a model for you. I think you'll like it because it gives you what do you do. In fact, we have these little bitty books, apart from, they are like 96 pages of a mini book. And the publisher, it was all the publisher's idea to put them on a spinner rack. And first it was 25, and then he asked for 36, and now it's 48. But the bottom, and I'm not going to do any more, even though we have 100 topics. But the publisher said, we can't believe what is number one, and it's so far above everything else. In fact, it's almost, it's not double of the next one, but it was just way above. And I was thinking, well, let me think, would that be decision making? Could it be forgives? I was trying to figure out because they weren't mentioning the title. And finally, they said, we still can't believe it's way ahead as number one. It's verbal and emotional abuse. And it's the ugliest cover. It's just a pail. It's a bucket that's just tumped over. And it's supposed to be the love bucket. has holes in it. And, you know, it's amazing. People many times do not know what to do. Now, we have we have more material than what's in the little mini book. But in fact, I'll need to go on and send you what we call our keys for living on verbal and emotional abuse. But it gives you what to do and how to have the boundaries that you're talking about. But that's really important.
Thank you.
And so, you know, you're so welcome. So you'll be getting verbal and emotional abuse from us and the hope of Christmas. And then, but especially as you work out and don't allow a negative effect, there's a part in there called how to change the course of an abusive relationship. And it's based on you, what you do. It's not the other person. You've got to, we give you even what to say. And I love that this has helped so many people. But you know what? It helped me because I wrote it and I didn't do it for the longest time. And I thought, and then finally, I thought, I've got to do this. And it worked. I know that sounds strange, but it's the truth.
I'm sure it was intimidating at first.
Yes, it was. It was. And I think I even wrote something on that, either in our Keys on Boundaries or in Verbal and Emotional Abuse. But I promise you, it will be practical, helpful, and it's all biblical. You'll see it lines up with Scripture. You continue to hang on to hope.
We will send Keys for Living called Verbal and Emotional Abuse Victory Over the Power of Abuse. Also sending the Hope of Christmas CD to tonight's caller. We can do that free of charge because of your generous support of this ministry. It means so much to us. And if you'd like to keep Hope in the Night on the air, you may do so at hopefortheheart.org/donate. And we appreciate your contribution to that. You may order resources for yourself at 800-488-HOPE, anytime Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time. And our materials and past programs are available at hopefortheheart.org. Also find programs wherever you find your podcasts. Until next time, for June Hunt, I'm Jeff Oliver saying you hang on to hope.